I'll read several verses just to introduce the subject about the miracles of Jesus, and we shall try to adhere to the very word of God, what the Scriptures say. Verse 31, our Savior says in John 5:31, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. Verse 36, but the witness which I have is greater than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to do, to accomplish, the very works that I do, bear witness of me, that the Father hath sent me. In chapter 15, verse 23, he that hateth me, hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the work which none other did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. And now, look at Mark 10. And I specifically mention this because there are certain miracles that continue today, and we shall see. Mark chapter 10, verse 23. And Jesus looked round about and said unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus answered again and said unto them, children, how hard it is for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished exceedingly, saying unto him, then who can be saved? Jesus, looking upon them, said, with men it is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God. Please notice that salvation is a miracle. They're asking him in verse 26 and 7, who can be saved? Jesus says in verse 27, with men it is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God. And let's just look at Acts chapter 2. There are four verses of Scripture that group together certain words pertaining to miracles. And Acts 22 is one of them. It says, you men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God. This is telling us the purpose of miracles. What is their significance? A man approved of God unto you by mighty work and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, even as you yourselves know. Please notice those words, mighty works, that's simply powers, and wonders and signs. And let's look at chapter 10. Chapter 10, and look at verse 38. Even Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power. Please notice that the Father is anointing the Lord Jesus with the Holy Spirit and with power. And with that anointing and power, he goes about doing good, healing all that are oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And let's turn to John chapter 19. We want to speak of a special type of miracle. Verse 10, John 19:10. Pilate therefore said unto him, speakest thou not unto me? Do you not know that I have power to release you and power to crucify you? Jesus answered him, you would have no power against me except it was given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivers thee unto thee hath greater sin. Please note, the Savior says that man has no power against his children unless God allows it. That's enough to read for now. Let's speak to the Lord again in prayer. Now, Father, how strange, how complex is life, and how impossible is it for us to understand unless you tell us. But our Father, you have told us, and if there is lack of understanding, it is because the book has not been opened and perused in prayer to understand the answers of God to the questions of men. So we pray that some of the things that we've read and other scriptures that shall be brought to our attention in thy will, that they shall impart light to us, that we shall not be able, having known the truth, to be blown about by every wind of doctrine, by heresy, by error, by lies, but let us be familiar with the truth of God and be unshakable, unmovable. You are able to do that if you empower your servant and if you prepare the heart of the people that are here. And that is what we desire this morning. So undertake and teach us, Father, about the miracles of Jesus and miracles themselves. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. The actual word miracle does not occur anywhere in the Word of God. You read it in the King James, and the only word that comes to mind when something that's impossible for man to do is done by another, we call it a miracle. But what God does is to tell us four different words, and these four different words, not one of them is a miracle, and they are not four different kinds of miracles, but these four words are descriptive words of what we call a miracle. And so the word dunamis, power, and the word semeion, sign, these words are translated miracle in the Bible, but when they're translated miracle, it is an interpretation and not translation. Because there is a definite meaning to the word, and I will tell you about it. The words are power, wonder, sign, and work. And I read you verses containing all of these words, and the one that is the simplest and the word that must be determined as to its meaning by the context is the word work. The Lord Jesus said, the Father has given me work to accomplish, to finish. What are these works? The Lord Jesus said, the work that the Father has given me to do, these bear witness of me. Now, what works are they? They are the miraculous works of the Lord Jesus Christ. The next word that is spoken of is the word power. And I will tell you, let me just interrupt and tell you now, the definition of these words, and then we'll talk about them a little more after that. The word power is descriptive of a miracle, denoting the energy, the might exerted by God to bring to pass what is to be done. What does the word dunamis mean? It is the power of God exerted to produce the miracle. That's the only word that speaks of the energy that is exerted to produce a miracle. And that energy always is imparted by God to the creature. No physical being has that power. Now, the next word is marvel or wonder. The word is teras. And this is the word that is used to describe what happens to people when they see a miracle. Let me give you an example. When Paul and Barnabas were at Lystra, and there was a man lame from his mother's womb there from birth, they miraculously gave that man strength in his ankle bones. And it said that when they did that, all of these inhabitants of Lystra rose up and they shouted with a loud voice and they said, God had come down to earth and they are among us. You see the marvel? It caused them to wonder, to be amazed, and that is one of the words that is associated with the word miracle. Now, the other word is the most important of all. It's the word soneion, which means a sign, which means the significance of the power exerted by God that caused men to marvel. Did you notice that I used all three there? It says the significance of the power exerted by God that caused men to marvel. And all of those three things happen when a true miracle occurs. Power is exerted. Men marvel. And what was done has a significance. And it's also called a work, which is simply something done. And all that I've told you about the other three words come to bear on the word work. A work that is a what? That is a power, that is a marvel, that is a sign. And so these are the four words that you find in the Bible, and only two of them are translated miracle in the King James, and that's the word dunamis and the word semeion. So when we read, no man can do these miracles that you do, Nicodemus is saying, these signs that you do. And to show how they accredit the person that is doing the miracle, Nicodemus and the man that was born blind explain it to perfection. Nicodemus is coming to the Lord Jesus by night and he's talking to him and he says, Rabbi, we know that you are a man come from God because no man can do these miracles that you do unless God is given. You see? Nicodemus could see that. The miracles that you're doing, you have to be from God. Nobody can do these miracles unless God is with you. Now, the blind man in John chapter 9 that is being interviewed by the enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ, they keep trying to get him to discredit the Lord Jesus, to show that somehow the Lord Jesus is a sinner, that he is a fraud. But this blind man stands firm, and it's a challenge to you and me because so often we weaken when enemies come and would challenge us as to the truth concerning Christ. And this is what the blind man says. He says, why herein is the marvel that a man opened my eyes and you do not know where he came from? He said, if this man were not from God, he could do nothing. You see the beauty and the simplicity of that? Of course, a blind man could see it. And he understood. He said, if he weren't from God, he could do nothing. And so the greatest teacher in Israel knows that Christ was not able to do these things unless God was with him. And a blind man, now seeing, said, if this man weren't from God, he could do nothing. But one thing enters in, and I did not read you this verse, and it's frightening. You find in Acts 2:22, 2 Corinthians 12:12, and also you find in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, these same three words, signs, marvels, and powers, but in 2 Thessalonians 2, they are performed by the Antichrist. Isn't that remarkable? So here is the Antichrist, and what Christ does, the Antichrist does. He imitates it. There is an imitation. Let me ask you this. When the Lord Jesus went and sowed seed, good seed in the field, what did Satan do? He sowed tares. There was something counterfeit. The Lord Jesus sowed good seed that souls may be saved, and then the good seed, when they produce salvation, he sowed these seeds to influence the world with the truth of the gospel. And what Satan does is to come along and do the same thing. There is satanic activity. And this is what is so frightening, and I tell you, and you've got to take it to heart. Because when the Lord Jesus performed his miracles, and we who are saved know that they were of God, the ones that saw him produce the miracles, they could not deny the miracles, and so they said, he performs miracles by the power of Beelzebub, by the prince of the devil who performs miracles. You see what they're saying? They cannot deny the miracle. People today deny miracles. But they could not deny it when they saw the miracle. If you knew a man that was born blind, you knew him personally, and you saw his eyes open, could you say that a miracle had not been worked? You say no. If you knew a poor cripple that from his mother's womb had hobbled around as in supported, and you saw him upright walking and leaping and shouting for joy, could you deny that a miracle had occurred? You say no. Well then, if that is so, you either have to accept the person that performed the miracle or attribute his power to Satan. And so that is what some did. And this is why you and I today must be ever so much on the alert concerning miracles. Because I told you that it is not the time of miracles today. And if you were not here the last hour, you will just have to get the information that I gave them. It is not the day of this kind of miracle, when Christ opened blind eyes, when he raised the dead, when he cleansed the leper. It's not the season for miracles today. That's what happened. Is that Satan is present, and he may be allowed of God to perform miracles today to draw you away from the Lord Jesus Christ. And the same argument is given. This satanic miracle. Why, if this man were not from God, he could not perform the miracle. But that's wrong. He does have power to perform miracles. Let me show you this. I said that there were miracles yesterday. There shall be miracles tomorrow, but there are no miracles today. It's just like when you go fishing, they say, the fish were biting yesterday, and they'll bite tomorrow. They're not biting today, but you come back tomorrow. And so that's what we tell you about miracles. That indeed there were miracles yesterday, and there are going to be miracles tomorrow. I must tell you this. A miracle performed in the time of Christ and his followers were powers of the age to come. And I told them all about the powers of the age to come the last hour. The powers of the age to come, some of that power is borrowed during the days of Christ and his apostles and their converts, but then that power of the age to come is suspended, and we have to wait for the age to come. So yesterday, when Christ was on earth, there were miracles, and tomorrow there are going to be miracles in that age to come, but now you cannot show me the necessity of miracles to be performed today. And I will simply illustrate it right now. You think that you would be converted, you who are hesitating. I think I would trust Christ to save you if I could see a miracle. If that were necessary, God would perform a miracle for you. You say, he would? Yes. And this is the argument that hell is giving to heaven. The rich man is in hell, and he's arguing with Abraham, who is in heaven. And the man in hell says, if you send Lazarus back from the dead, he will convert my brothers, and they won't come to this place of torment. And Abraham, the voice of heaven, says, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, the word of God, neither will they be persuaded if one rose from the dead. That's the message of heaven. What do you say? And if you say, oh no, if miracles were performed today, I tell you that miracles would not convert another man. God would do everything righteous as possible and necessary for a man to be converted. But he has been Moses and the prophets, and now he's given the full revelation of the New Testament. And listen to what John says. John said concerning his Savior, many other miracles, signs did Jesus, which are not written in this Gospel of John. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. So God does not say, I'm sending more miracles that you may be converted and believe. He said, read what I have inspired in the Gospel of John. And if you read it with an open heart and you're willing to do God's will, you will be saved. He has written these things that you may be saved. And if it was necessary to perform a miracle, God would do it. But it's not necessary. all that you need for salvation is present in the Word of God and in the Spirit of God, but you say, I want more. Do you know why? It's because you don't want to be saved. You want to continue in your sins. And you say, well, I would be saved if I saw a miracle. And now I will illustrate it again. Because a man named Lazarus in John chapter 11 was raised from the dead. And some of the enemies of Christ saw him raised from the dead. And they went into the Jewish authority and tried to have Christ put to death. You say a miracle is going to convert? I'll give you another illustration from Matthew chapter 11. It said, at this time, Jesus began to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty miracles were done, because they repented not. He performed abundance of miracles, and they repented not. He said, woe unto thee. And so you'd better be glad that God has not given you a miracle, because the miracle that God would give would not convince you, and it would put you deeper in hell, because God gave life, and you refused that life. So remember this, that there are miracles wrought by Satan, and there are miracles wrought by Christ. And you say, well, how can you know the difference? Thank God for this verse. Will you remember John 7:17? The Lord Jesus said, if any man is willing to do the will of God, he shall know of my doctrine, my preaching, whether I speak of myself or whether I speak from God. Understand that promise, please. The Lord Jesus has given us this promise. If any man is willing to do God's will, he shall know. Know what? Whether what I say is of God or whether it's just something that I say for myself. That is indispensable. And that is why when some come to me, you see, there are some who know all the religions of the world and they say, but Confucianism says this, but Buddhism says this, but Zoroastrianism says this. I just don't know. I think that all of them are good. I can't know. The Lord Jesus said, if you're willing to do God's will, you shall know. And you can take all the religions of the world. And God has made this promise that if you're willing to obey the truth, to do God's will, he will reveal it to you. That is the glory of the promise of God. So here is the Savior, and the miracles that he performs are spoken out as powers, they're spoken out as marvels, they're spoken out as signs, and simply as works. But what kind of works? The work that no man ever did. He spoke words like no man ever spoke. He performed miracles like no man ever performed. And let's see if there is any brother here who can tell me one miracle that was reserved for the Lord Jesus that none of the miracle works in the Old Testament ever performed. Only one. The blind. Since the world began, it's not been heard that anybody opened the eyes of the blind. Naaman the leper was healed. You'll find that the widow's son was raised from the dead. All sorts of miracles. But God said, when my son comes to earth, I'm reserving one special miracle for him to open the eyes of the blind. And now I'll tell you a little bit about the word sign. A miracle is a sign and it has a significance. What is done physically has a spiritual meaning. And so Christ is the one who opened the eyes of the blind, and therefore that illustrates Christ who said this, I am the light of the world. There are men in their darkness, in their blindness, and Christ opens their eyes. And what is the significance of that? It is Christ, the light of the world. So it is Christ who feeds 5,000 with the loaves and the fishes. And what is the significance for that? The Lord Jesus said, I am the bread of God who came down from heaven. Here is Lazarus who is dead, and the Lord Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. What is the significance of that? The Lord Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. And so every miracle that the Lord Jesus performed was significant, and if you look at it and search the scriptures, you will find out the significance of that miracle. All of them are accreditation. All of them are to verify that Christ is sent from God and that he's the Son of God, and therefore all of these miracles are performed, but each one has a particular significance. Let me give you another one. Here was this man that is paralyzed, and he has to have four friends to bring him and let him down through the roof. The man had no power, no strength, no ability. Listen to Romans 5. For one believer yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. And this is the beauty, that you look at man and all of his physical needs, and Jesus Christ met them all. There was not one person in physical need that was ever brought to the Lord Jesus Christ that that need was not met, because he said, all power is given unto me. He said, the Father has not given the Spirit to the Son in measure. And it makes no difference how difficult the problem was that confronted the Lord Jesus. He performed that miracle. Before I tell you any more about that, I want to give you something that is ever so interesting. Suppose I were to show you from the Bible exactly how a miracle was performed. You think you would know any more than you know now about how a miracle is performed? I'm going to show you exactly how a miracle is performed. And when I do, and I'm praying with you now, you won't know any more after I read it to you than you did before. And so turn to John 9. I want you to see this. I'm going to give you the testimony of one upon whom a miracle was made. And he's going to answer that question. How did Christ perform a miracle? Look at verse 10. John 9, verse 10. They said therefore unto him, how were your eyes opened? He answered, the man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, go to Siloam and wash. So I went away and washed, and I received my sight. Now, tell me about how a miracle could work any more now than you knew before. You say, it simply tells the facts of what was done. And you have no more idea how a miracle is performed, and you never will have. Because I give you another illustration, and I want you to see this, as to the inspiration of the Word of God. I'm going to give you a testimony of a man who was inspired, and you're not going to know any more after he tells you than you did before. But we'll look at it anyway. Turn to Jeremiah 36. But what I'm showing you at least is from the Word of God. 36. And look at verse 17. They want to know how Baruch wrote these prophecies of Jeremiah. And in verse 17. And they asked Baruch, saying, tell us, how did you write all these words at his mouth? And Baruch answered them, he pronounced all these words unto me with his mouth, and I wrote them with ink in the book. Now tell me how much more you know about inspiration than you did before. You don't know any more. He doesn't know any more. He simply says this, I was sitting down, or I was in a position to write, and Jeremiah spoke the words, and I wrote these words in a book, and there they are. That's the inspiration of the Word of God. And here is the man that had a miracle performed upon him, and he says, how did he perform that miracle? And he simply tells the fact of what occurred, and that's all we know. Now, if you ask me, how does Christ perform miracles? I tell you how he does it. He tells you how he does it. He said, if I by the Spirit of God cast out demons, then is the kingdom of God come upon you. It is simply the exertion of power through Christ by the Spirit of God upon whatever need exists. And when that power is exerted, then whatever the need that existed, it disappears. Why? Because this is the power of God. Remember two things. Two things that have to take place. There has to be the wisdom of God, and there has to be the power of God. Because this universe was brought into existence by God's understanding, by God's wisdom, and by God's power. And every miracle that is performed by Christ is performed by God's wisdom and by God's power. God has the understanding what has to be done to heal a leper, to open the eyes of the blind, to raise the dead man. God has the understanding and the wisdom, and God has the power. So all you have to do to work a miracle
is to have the know-how and have the power. So how many of you can perform a miracle? You say, I don't know how and I don't have the power. Of course not. And nobody else on earth ever had it either. But if God says, I'm giving you the wisdom and I'm giving you the power, then it's simple. Because you'll find in Matthew 10 and in Luke chapter 10 that Christ empowered his followers to perform miracles. And when they came back, they said, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in thy name. And that meant nothing to the Lord Jesus. He said, don't be rejoicing that the demons are subject to you in my name, but rejoice rather that your name is written in heaven. That's the important thing. Oh, if I could only perform a miracle. The greatest thing that's ever happened to me is the miracle of the new birth. We must be born again. And God, by his Spirit, has imparted to me eternal life. And it will never happen unless God intervenes. I told you that a miracle is the interposing. It is God exerting his power into the laws of nature, and the change is effected. Unless God's power is interposed, unless God's power is put forth into these constant laws of nature, there will never be a change. Physically in the world and spiritually in your heart, because the law of nature is this, you are born in sin and shapen in iniquity. You must be born again, and you can't be born again. Nicodemus said, how can a man be born the second time? Can he enter into his mother's womb and be born? And the Lord Jesus said, you must be born of the Spirit of God. That is the way a man is born again. And the Lord Jesus said, if I by the Spirit of God perform miracles, and that's the only way. In a word, and this is what is so interesting, that it tells us in the Psalm how God brought about creation. He spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. That's all God tells you. God spake, let there be light, and there was light. And the Lord Jesus spake, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came forth. It says, he commanded, and it stood fast. And the Lord Jesus stood up at the storm, and he said, peace, be still. And at that command, everything was still. That's how Jesus performed miracles. He spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Now, you say, how simple. Yes, but how profound. And that's all that God is going to tell you. And you'll never know any more unless you have the wisdom of God. And you'll never be able to do these things unless God imparts to you his power. That is the marvel. So, I've shown you an illustration as to how inspiration occurs. And you say, God doesn't tell us. And I've shown you a miracle and its explanation, and you say, I still, having been told, don't know how, and you never will know how. If God desires to impart to you the power, that's fine, but you still do not know how it happened. If you ask me, how were you born again? How did you pass from death into life? I tell you, I do not know. Why? Because the Savior said in John 3, he said, the wind bloweth where it wills, and you hear the sound, but you don't know where it came from or where it's going. He said, so is every man that is born of the Spirit of God. I know that the Spirit of God came upon me, and he convicted of sin and righteousness and judgment, and I saw that I was a sinner, and Christ was the only Savior of sinners, and I trusted in the Savior. And I was born again. I was a new creature in Christ Jesus. And you say, well, what happened? I can't tell you. The wind blew upon me, and I yielded my will to the will of God. And I was made a new creature in Christ Jesus. And that's all I know. But that is a miracle. And if you say, a miracle is being performed today, every person that's truly born again is a miracle. Why? Because Christ, when they were asked, well, who can be saved? He said, with men it's impossible. If something is impossible with men, then if it does occur, what has happened? You say, well, if it's impossible with men, if it occurs, then God has wrought it. Well, of course he has. And that is why I say the miracles that God is performing today are of this nature. Because he has given abundance of miracles. I wish you had been here the last hour. The hundreds of miracles that Christ performed. And that is all he's going to give. And now, the miracle he's performing It's the miracle of the new birth. And you must be born again. And all of you who want to be born again can never be born again unless the Spirit of God draws you and you say yes to the drawing of the Spirit of God. So this is a little more about the miracles of the Lord Jesus. Time is on. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that though we cannot understand these things that we've been studying this morning, and yet you've given us light in abundance upon them, yet we know them to be true, and we've experienced them, and we embrace them and rejoice in them. We thank you. You told us that to anticipate it. Now we know in part, but then shall we fully know, even if we're fully known. You have spoken about that age to come, and we've read about what's going to happen in that age to come. But now in this age, Father, for a little while, your Son and the apostles and their converts tasted of the power of the age to come. We thank you that now that power is still being exerted in the conversion of souls. And so let miracles occur here this morning in the heart of all who are present. Our God, who can turn us from our sin, our lethargy, our indifference, our lack of attention, who but your Spirit can do that? So, Father, let us, in going through the world, not fail to be illumined and have the miracle of new birth to occur in our hearts. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.